Before I start the sermon, I realized that I made the suggestion or invitation to make a special gift to the dwelling, but I didn't say how to do that. You just give to the church in the same way that you normally do, whether that's a check or online or in the offering, but you can still give it to St. John's, but just designate it for the dwelling. How many of you are old enough that you remember a radio program hosted by Paul Harvey, which featured a famous tagline, and now you know the rest of the story? Okay. Almost everybody here. For those few of you who don't know, who are younger, a radio program is something we used to listen to before podcasts. The reason I bring this up is that this is what I feel like when I hear the gospel reading, Luke chapter 4, the portion we read today, together with the portion we read last week. I feel like Luke's story, just like Paul Harvey's stories, ends with an unexpected fact that changes the whole story. The big difference, of course, between the story which we've heard in Luke and the stories Paul Harvey told is that his stories always ended with a twist that made you smile, made you feel good, but Luke's story today is almost the opposite. You get to the end, what we heard today, and we think, what the heck, where did that come from? So that's why I'm going to do something I don't usually do. I'm going to work my way through the scripture backward. The last verses of today's reading, when Jesus' neighbors, the folks in the synagogue in which he had grown up, his hometown, when they heard what he said, they were filled with rage. They got up, drove Jesus out of town, took him to the brow of the hill where the town was built so they could hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Now, some people might wonder, how did Jesus escape? But not me. I wonder, what in God's name happened? One minute, everybody's listening to him read the scripture, and the next, they're filled with rage and they try to kill him. They were filled with rage, not just angry, they were hostile and violent. Seriously, what caused Jesus' neighbors to suddenly be filled with rage? They tried to kill him. That's a shocking detail, and maybe something you haven't noticed. If you ask people who in the Gospels wants to kill Jesus, most everybody would answer the religious leaders, the political leaders, the people whose power he threatened. How many people would say, Jesus' neighbors tried to kill him? It's a shocking part of the story, and it's only in this one verse and only in Luke. This is not the way Matthew and Mark tell this story. In the parallel stories from those Gospels, it says the neighbors were offended that he was not able to do any deeds of power, and so he moved on. But here in Luke, they're so angry, so furious, they literally try to kill Jesus. Why? Well, let's back up a few verses. Just before this, Jesus tells a story, Luke says. Jesus reminds his neighbors of two stories from their scripture, from the Old Testament. He said, Elisha, the prophet Elisha, back in the day, healed one man of leprosy, a contagious skin disease. Out of all the many, many people that had that terrible disease, Elisha cured one person, Naaman the Syrian. The Syrians were enemies of Israel. They were at war in that time. Naaman was the Syrian general. Do you see? Jesus says, remember back in the days of Elisha, the prophet of the Lord healed a man who received the gift of healing from God was our enemy. And then just before that, the other story Jesus reminds them of, remember when Elijah was on the run from Jezebel, who was a violent queen of Israel? And this woman who helped Elijah, who gave him shelter and food, and then miraculously her supply of flour and oil didn't run out. Remember that the person who helped the prophet of the Lord and herself was blessed with a miraculous supply of food was from Sidon. Remember that she was our enemy. Are you starting to see it? Do you see what caused Jesus' neighbors to become furious, filled with rage? If you look back just before Jesus offers these stories in response, what was their reaction to his prophetic announcement? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. We heard that last Sunday. Their reaction, in stark contrast to what we hear in Matthew and Mark, is excitement, enthusiasm. In Matthew and Mark, Jesus' neighbors, when he makes this announcement, they are offended because they know Jesus. In effect, they say, where does he get off? He's not a prophet. He's just a carpenter. We know his mother and his brothers and his sisters. This is ridiculous. They're offended that this guy could possibly be anything important at all. They're offended because they don't think their hometown carpenter neighbor could possibly be a prophet. No way in heck could he be the Messiah. But here in Luke, there's a dramatic contrast. The neighbor's reaction's completely different. Here in Luke, Jesus proclaims, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I'm here to proclaim the reign of God is in breaking now. And it says, and all spoke well of him. All were amazed at his gracious words. They spoke well of him. They were filled with admiration. They marveled. They were excited by what he said. And they exclaimed, is this not Joseph's boy? You see, it's the exact opposite of the other two tellings of the story. Instead of being offended that the local boy thinks he's somebody important, they are thrilled. They're excited. They're breaking out their high fives and their fist bumps. Jesus, our Jesus from our town is God's prophet. Our Jesus. Could our Jesus, whom we've known all his life, could he be the Messiah? That would be awesome. The Messiah from our neighborhood. And then that's where it happens. That's when Jesus tells these two stories. Jesus says, but wait, God, in so many of our scripture stories, God also cared for our enemies. Now you know the rest of the story. The Spirit is upon me, says Jesus, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, the word of the Lord. God has sent me to proclaim release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim relief to those oppressed by debt. Thus says the Lord. And Jesus' neighbors say, hey, 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 this is awesome. God is here for us. Our Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus says, no. No, I'm here for everyone. I'm here to bring God's reign of healing and joy and peace and life to everyone. Yes, to you, my neighbors, but not just you. I'm here to bring God's reign of love also to your enemies, also to those you don't like, also to those you don't think are worthy of this good news, also to those that you don't want God to save. God is also saving those whom you would rather God not save. Friends, this is the good news. It might not sound exactly like the way we normally hear it, but this is good news. God is saving even those whom Jesus' hometown neighbors did not want God to save. That's us. You know, this is human nature. We all make lists. The insiders and the outsiders. Who's worthy, who's not. Who's successful, who's not. Who's doing well, who's doing it right, and who's not. Everybody does it. We think others are not worthy. Others think we're not worthy. That's human sin. It's sin to turn toward myself, away from others, even more. It's sin to believe that God turns mostly to me. To believe that God turns away from those other people that we think God ought to turn away from. We make lists. Other people make lists. Everybody makes lists. Divisions, distinctions, judgments. Who's in, who's out. This is the good news. God doesn't make lists. The Gospel of Luke is clear. The reign of God, the salvation of God, what Jesus is about and who Jesus is not mostly about what happens after we die. It's mostly about God coming here and now to make things better, overturning systems and structures, reversing the way of things, bringing salvation, hope, life, freedom, healing, comfort, bringing power to the oppressed, the marginalized, the downtrodden, the poor, the excluded. Salvation to whomever needs it. Whomever the world has pushed down, whatever group the world has turned against, beaten down, declared unworthy, to whoever is the least of these. Whether it be people of a certain color or ethnic background, or people of a certain gender identity or sexual orientation, or people of a certain nationality or place of origin, or immigration status, or whatever. God proclaims in Jesus He is bringing salvation, aid, love, new life today, here and now to all people, including those in need, including those whom others think shouldn't have it or deserve it. Jesus is here to turn the world upside down, to transform humanity, to bring about the reign of God's love. That's the way of Jesus that we're called to follow. You know, I'm going to say right now, it probably won't be the last time. Right now, it's hard. People are so divided, conflicted. It's hard not to say things standing here in front of you which some people are going to hear as political. It's scary. But the fact is, you can't talk about the world and what God is up to in the world and what God wants us to be up to in the world without our faith having implications for the world. So hear me when I say, I'm not calling anybody out, and I love all of you. But some of the things that I mentioned already are happening since we changed administration. Some things that have happened have created more work for us to do. So I have to share with you the needs that are arising, like for the dwelling and probably for Lutheran services. We can't all respond to every need. We have different gifts, different talents, different callings, and yet we're one body. One body with Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our teacher, our master, the one whom we serve and are called to follow. The one who began his ministry speaking a prophetic word, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, the sick, the despairing, the mourning, the oppressed, the outcast, the marginalized, the hated, the despised, the demonized." We'll be hearing this all year long. It's right in the Gospel of Luke. That's the one we're called to follow, the one who proclaims, "God has anointed me to proclaim the reign of God's love that turns the world upside down, transforms human hearts, relationships, and communities. I've come to bring good news to you, to each one of you, and to each and every one of my children throughout the world." No lists, no exceptions, unconditional love. These are the words of Jesus. The word of the Lord. Amen.